This morning we're going to continue our sermon series on really the vision for East Lincoln, the vision that we have at the center of that vision, what our focus is on, or who our focus is on, is Jesus Christ. We've talked about our unifying goal is pursuing Him, following Him, and becoming like Him in every way. And we've also talked about there's a lifelong process in pursuing this goal, that we take many steps, going through many different stages. We've talked about, and Scripture identifies these different stages as going from one who's spiritually unborn to somebody who's a spiritual infant, spiritual child, young adult, and spiritual parent. And so this morning we're going to continue to talk about these different stages. For the past couple of weeks I've been talking about them. Last week I talked about the primary difference between the first two stages, the one who's spiritually unborn and one who is a spiritual infant. And the difference between them is that the person who's a spiritual infant has been born again, and that's what last week's sermon was all about, being born again. So they've been made alive by God's Spirit in their heart. We looked at John chapter 3 and Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus and how he said, no one's going to enter the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again. Okay, God has to make you alive in your spirit so that you will turn to Jesus. Okay, so somebody who's a spiritual infant doesn't just have the right religion. A lot of people come to church on Sundays, they have the right religion, they claim even Christianity, claim the right maybe morals and belief system, but you can have those things and not be born again, like what we looked at last week. So one who's been born again, the Holy Spirit has turned the lights on, we talked about last week, turned the lights on in their spirit, that there's this new power at work within them. They see and understand the gospel in a whole new way. If you were like me, you may have grown up hearing the gospel many, many times. I heard it, I don't know, hundreds of times probably. And it didn't, like, until God turned the lights on, it made sense cognitively to me. And there was emotions where I, like, well, I don't want to go to hell and I want to go to heaven. But God had to awaken my spirit for me to embrace the gospel with full conviction. We looked at a passage in 1 Thessalonians last week where we saw where Paul, in writing to that church, was saying, hey, I know that he's chosen you, because when I preached the gospel, it didn't just come, you didn't just hear it with kind of your physical ears, but you heard it with, you heard it deep inside, there was full conviction in your hearts. And so that's what happens when a person's born again. They see and understand the gospel in a whole new way. They trust in Jesus Christ with deep conviction. They have a new love for him, a new appreciation for forgiveness that Jesus gives, a new appreciation for his death on the cross. And so they have this new desire to then live for him. And I hope that as we're singing those songs this morning about Jesus, that you feel that desire to live for the one who died for you. They are like a brand new baby that's just been born. You picture, we're going to have baby showers. You picture a brand new baby who's just been born and is experiencing a whole new way of life. That's like a spiritual infant. So they need to learn the basics of Christianity. They need to learn how to eat and how to, I won't go too far into that one with the baby thing because that could get weird. But they need to learn the basics, okay? They need to begin applying them to their lives. So they're just beginning this lifelong process of spiritual growth and development. Now, one of the problems that can come up in this lifelong process is that we can get stuck in one of these stages, okay? And the stage that we're going to talk about this morning is, I think Christians often get stuck in this stage. Now, last week, in my original plan was that this Sunday I was going to preach through the three remaining stages, but it became apparent to me that that's way too much to cover in one sermon. So I'm just going to cover one stage today. The stage that people often get stuck at is the spiritual child stage. Okay, and so part of what I want you to do today is, and throughout these sermons, is obviously identifying, kind of assessing, where am I at in this process? Last week, again, we looked at spiritually unborn. You could be there. Spiritual infant. Today, spiritual child. Ask yourself, is this where I'm at? It's a little hard to know exactly until you hear all five stages, and that'll be in another week or two that we get to that. But be asking, God, where am I at in this? And what can I do so I don't get stuck here, basically, okay? Many people get stuck at the spiritual child stage. I think people get stuck there, they don't even know it, probably in some ways because they aren't taught that there's maybe anything more, okay? They might not think it's a big deal, even if they did know that they were kind of stuck at this stage. But it's not good to get stuck at this stage that I'm going to talk about this morning. And I want to show you some pictures that I found on the internet this week to show you why it's not good to get stuck at this stage. I think this will help us kind of see some spiritual realities. So we all really enjoy when a baby's born, right? I mean, you just marvel over this new creation. You know, you turn into kind of a weird person when you're around babies. I automatically, if I'm holding a baby, I'll start doing this. I never do this. This is like dancing for me, you know? I start doing this, and you're like, oh, you know, boo, 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 boo. You do all these weird things, right? You know, you turn into a weird person because we marvel at these babies, okay? But as wonderful as that baby stage is, and as much as we love it, we don't want that to last forever, right? I mean, that would be kind of weird. It could be very alarming if babies didn't grow and develop. Now, I found some pictures of 10 people that share the same thing in common. They never grew beyond the size of an average baby. So the average baby, and I looked this up, is when they're born, the average baby is about 20 inches long. And they quickly grow within that first year to being the average baby at age one is 29 inches long. But not these people that I'm going to show you. None of them ever reached 29 inches, okay? And that's just shocking to me, and you'll see. So the first person up here is Stacy Harold. She is 28 inches long, okay? 28 inches. I should have brought a measuring tape up here. The next person is Hattis Kokomon, 28 inches as well. These are the 10 shortest people in the world. Edward, number three, Edward Nino Hernandez is 27 inches, okay? So you can see there a little bit easier how tall he is. Bridget Jordan is 27 inches as well. How'd you, these are adults, you know, how'd you like to be 27 inches? We're getting shorter here. Lin Yu Chi is 26.6 inches. I'll try to get this right. Kagendra Thapa Magar, I butchered every part of his name, I'm sure, is 26 inches. Madge Bester, 25 and a half inches. Yoti Amji, 24.7. I don't know what size. That shoe's probably about the same size as my shoes, I'm guessing. You know, about 12 inches long. Yunrei Balawing, 23.6 inches. 23.6 inches. And then the shortest human being in the world, Chandra Bahadur Dangi, 21.5 inches, okay? The average baby, when they're born, is 20 inches, 21.5 inches. Now, none of these, and I can hear from your expressions, none of us look at these pictures and think, what's the big deal? Like, no, we're mesmerized by these pictures, and if we had any of these here, I'm sure we would be mesmerized because we know something's terribly wrong here. This is not the way things are supposed to be. Adults are not supposed to be the size of a baby. If you get stuck at that size, you're going to encounter a whole bunch of problems as time goes on. Think about the problems you'd run into if you were that tall as an adult. You know, you couldn't do hardly anything that you're used to doing. And that's the same thing that happens. Those problems come into our lives when it comes to spiritual growth and development. If people get stuck, they begin to encounter problems. If you get stuck in one of these stages, you begin to encounter problems. So a person will never get to the place that God wants them to be. God doesn't want you to be stuck in the child stage like we're going to be looking at today. He wants you to progress in becoming more like Christ. The person, if you get stuck, you don't only miss out on the joy that God has for you as you grow in Christian maturity, but you're also unable to glorify God as you should, or be able to become and do what he wants you to do. Not only that, but when somebody has stunted growth in their spiritual life, it has a negative effect on the whole church family, especially if a whole bunch of people in the same church get stuck in the same place. Okay, so getting stuck is a problem. And the elders don't want that to happen here at East Lincoln Alliance Church, which is why I'm preaching these things and why we've spent so much time just focusing on our vision and how we can help and encourage people to grow. We want to help you to continue to grow. And so today, as we look at this spiritual child stage, we want you to become more familiar with this as we do every stage, so that you will also then be able to see some see if you're at that stage and see some steps that you can continue to take and grow and not get stuck. And I do want to say, and I probably should say this every week as we're going through this, that there are no cookie-cutter Christians. Like, you don't press any of us into the same mold, right? I mean, God works differently, and his timeline is different, so the pace at which we grow is going to be different, and the setbacks and the different things, it's all going to be very different. We're all starting out in different places. I mean, there's a lot of differences. There's no cookie-cutter Christians when it comes to spiritual growth, but there are certain characteristics that we can look for that are commonly shared by disciples who are growing through these different stages. And so that's the attempt, is to identify these different characteristics. So with the spiritual child stage, in order to come to a better understanding of that, we're going to look at a letter in the New Testament that was written to a group of Christians who were at this stage. It was pretty eye-opening for me this week as I'm learning more and more about spiritual growth and kind of the changes that happen in people as they grow spiritually. And then looking at the letters, especially that Paul writes, he's writing to Christians who are at different stages in their Christian growth, okay? In some cases, he's writing to, like 1 and 2 Thessalonians is written to a church where he was only there a couple of months, and he got kicked out of town before he could kind of finish teaching them the basics of Christianity, which is what you teach spiritual infants. Well, he got kicked out of town before he could do that, and so his letters that he wrote back to them have a lot of basics in them, and they have him like, I was so worried about you guys because I got kicked out of town early, basically, and was just worried what I'd hear about you guys, and thankfully I heard a good report. And then he talks about just basic things, like they're freaking out about people had died in their church family, and they're like, oh my goodness, like Jesus hasn't come back yet, so what's going to happen to them? He hadn't had the chance to teach them yet about that. So those books are written to spiritual infants, but then some books are written to those who are at the spiritual child stage, and we're going to look at one of those books today, and that is the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And in this letter, we're going to see what Paul expected of Christians who were at the spiritual child stage, and we're going to see how he wanted them to grow. His expectations of them were appropriate. His instructions for what they needed to do, kind of some next steps, were appropriate, obviously, for where they were at. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm actually going to walk us all the way through this letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter because that would just be too much. But I am going to walk us through kind of chapter by chapter, looking at a few verses, reading a few different passages so that you can kind of see what I'm talking about, because this will give us a biblical foundation for our understanding of what it means to be a spiritual child at that stage. Now, the people he's writing to are all adults, probably. I mean, I'm sure there's various ages, but just I think one of the hurdles we may have to get across is understanding that if you're an adult, you can be at the spiritual child stage, and it's not an insult. That's just the reality of where you're at spiritually, okay? And so that's where these people were at. So I want you to go with me to Genesis. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to just point out a few things. Ephesians chapter 1. So as you begin reading, and if you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, you know that in the first half of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes about some deeper aspects of salvation and Christian beliefs. You'll notice that these are not the basics of the gospel anymore. So I don't think you would teach these things. I don't think you should teach these things to brand new baby Christians, okay? Spiritual infants, if you try to teach them these things, it's going to go way over their heads. Okay, I think that there would be a lot of confusion. You have to be taught the basics of God, the basics of Christianity, the basics of Scripture, basics of who we are. All those basics need to be taught first, which is what Paul would have taught the Christians in Ephesus when he was with them in person. He would have taught them those basics, but now when he comes back and writes them this letter, he's able to go beyond the basics and teach them about deeper things. And that's an important characteristic of what it means to be a spiritual child. And the difference between a spiritual child and a spiritual infant is you're moving on from the basics into more of the meatier doctrines and beliefs of Christianity. You'll see in Hebrews chapter, the end of chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6, the author of Hebrews is very frustrated with the people he's writing to because they should have been beyond the infant stage, but they just weren't. Like, they were not growing. They were actually being lured into some false teaching, and you can see clearly there, he's like, you should be kind of eating on the meat and don't go back to the elementary teachings, but move on, okay? So you see this in the Scriptures. I want to read verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians chapter 1 so you see what I'm talking about. Actually, I'm just going to go through verse 10 because that'll give us enough to see. So here's what Paul writes to this church that has people at the spiritual child stage. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." And he goes on and continues this, but I think you get the point. Like, I think Cindy Moe, you'll often talk about the meat and potatoes. Where are you, Cindy? There you are. That's meat and potatoes. It is. That's meat and potatoes, okay? You don't start off, "Oh, you're a brand new Christian here. Let me teach you through Ephesians chapter 1," because it'd be like, poof, like, it'd be, I picture a baby who's ready to drink out of a bottle. You don't try to feed them like a steak, right? Okay? And that's kind of what's going on here. But if you are at that, if you're beyond the basics and you're at this spiritual child stage, that's when you do need to be introduced to these big, deeper doctrines. You need to start to grapple with these things and understand these things in order to understand God more, in order to understand his grace more fully. And so that's what Paul does in writing to these. Now, to complete chapter 1, if you go on in the second half of chapter 1, then Paul writes about how he prays for them. And I think he basically is saying, "I'm praying that you will be able to understand these things that I just wrote about." I think that's basically what he's saying. So I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and just part of this prayer, verses 16 through 19. Here you can hear part of this prayer. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." So he's praying that God would give them revelation to know him. "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might." And I'll just stop there for now. So he writes about how he prays for them, and you can see in here, he's expecting God to take them from where they're at and just like further reveal to them and further grow in them in many different areas here, that they would understand God more fully, that they'd understand his power, his grace, his goodness, his blessings, and grow in all of these ways. And so as I look at this, I think, in the same way that we look at a baby, or maybe a parent looks at a baby and anticipates. You probably, if you're a parent, you do this. You look at that little baby and you anticipate all this growth that they're going to experience in their upcoming childhood years. Paul is doing the same thing in a spiritual way as he prays for these people. He anticipates their spiritual growth in many different ways as he prays for them. Okay? So you see those things in chapter 1. That brings us to chapter 2. I'm going to go through this chapter a little more quickly here, where Paul, you'll see he continues to teach them some rich and deep things, some theological things, and in chapter 2, he dives into the glories of salvation in greater details, in detail. So he helps them to see that their salvation is by grace through faith, and he does that by basically saying, you were spiritually dead, like controlled by the prince of the power of the air and all these things. And he says, but God made you alive. It's by grace you've been saved. So he's teaching them that deeper now, that salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, a lot of us have memorized that this is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. And so what he's doing here, I think, is he's laying I think Ed actually referred to this, is these songs that we sang this morning are foundational gospel songs, and these are foundational gospel truths. Like you have to come to a place, I think, in these spiritual child years where you are grounded firmly and deeply in God's grace and understanding his grace. Because if you don't have that solid foundation and you move on from there, you veer off into trying to just live a life where you're trying to earn God's approval. And it's like, that's not Christianity. Every other religion probably where you try to earn God's approval, not Christianity. Christianity is founded on God's grace and his forgiveness for you in Jesus Christ. And so he's teaching these spiritual children these things in chapter 2. And then he goes on in the second half of chapter 2 by writing about how God not only saved them in order to reconcile them or bring them back to himself, to God, but he also saved them in order to reconcile them to each other. In this case, there was a huge division between Jews and Gentiles, and he's saying that through Christ, we all are united together and we're one, which is a huge thing for us in kind of these formative child years of Christianity, to understand that there is a oneness, a unity in Christ that we have. And so he teaches them. Look at chapter 3 now, okay? Continuing to walk through this book, he tells them in chapter 3 about his own testimony and his own call to ministry by the grace of God. And then he prays that they might know the fullness of the love that God has for them in Christ. And I think this is a big thing too, for spiritual children to know the fullness of God's love. It's kind of what I just said in chapter 2. But here you see how Paul prays that for them. Oh, I lost my bookmark, so I can't read it for you. But it's Ephesians chapter 3, kind of toward the end, verses 16 through 19. Okay? That's his prayer. I turned to it, so I'm going to read it. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God, of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think as a spiritual infant, you begin to grasp some of these things. You like hear the gospel and you see it, Christ in a new way, and you learn that Jesus died for you, and you understand these things. But I think as a spiritual child, you grow more and more in the experience of that love. Okay, it's this idea, I think, that Paul paints here of one who is, it's almost, I don't know if this is what he had in mind, but you're just in a flood, maybe, of God's love, where you just, the height and the depth and the length and the breadth, like it's just surrounding you with his love. That's what you need to experience, okay? So you see this in chapter 3. Now, chapter 4, we're walking through this real quick. By the end of this, I'm going to give you kind of a bullet list like I did last week of characteristics. I'm going to tie all these things together. In chapter 4, he turns a corner and he starts to get more practical. So before he's talking about theology, understanding, those types of things maybe in your mind, but in chapter 4, he talks about growth in their character and in their in their behavior. And so he calls them at the beginning of chapter 4 to live their lives in a manner worthy of the Lord, worthy of their calling, worthy of Christ. And he calls them to join together in pursuing Christ so that they'll grow into maturity together, okay? And that's an important part in this stage is building Christian relationships, building relationships. When you're spiritually unborn, you probably have your main influences are probably from unbelievers, okay? You become born again, you're a spiritual infant learning the basics, and part of what you need to grow in as a Christian is the fellowship of believers and building these relationships. And so he talks about that in chapter 4. And we've looked at these verses, and these are maybe the key verses for this morning. In verses 14 and 15, he says that we're to grow into maturity together, and then he says, so that we may no longer be children, okay? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And that's probably one of the best verses to give you a description of this spiritual child stage. He refers to them as spiritual children in that verse. And they are, he says, as children, you're still vulnerable to being distracted, being led astray by various teachings and deception. And so they need to grow. You need to grow in every way, you know, and that's a characteristic of spiritual child, is grow in every way, growing up into Christ and pursuing this goal that we have of becoming like Christ, okay? So then he goes on in chapter 4. He calls them to pursue change in every area of their lives. This is the place in Ephesians. It's the put off of the old self and the put on the new self. So if you picture maybe clothes, your old dirty clothes of the flesh that are stained with sin, it's like that kind of lifestyle. You want to be pulling those things off, turning away from sin. That's a huge thing in this stage. And then you're wanting to put on more of Christ and his character and become more like him. Flee from sin, become more like Christ. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that you were taught to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's the general principle. And then he goes on for about two chapters and talks about then what does this look like. He talks about your relationships with one another in chapter 4, about how you should treat one another then, how you should treat others in the community. In chapter 5, I think he basically says the same thing, to flee from all kinds of different sin and to pursue Christ-like holiness in your lives. Okay, this is what you do as a spiritual child, is it's the turning away, it's the learning this lifestyle of repentance and becoming more like Christ. And he teaches them about what that looks like in marriage, so husbands and wives at the end of chapter 5, what it looks like to turn away from sin and become more like Christ in marriage. And then as he goes into chapter 6, he teaches what it should look like in their family, parent-child relationships, and their work relationships, or master-slave in chapter 6. So he can just see him walking through saying, hey, it's about putting off the old self, putting on the new self, becoming more like Christ, fleeing from sin. Here's what it looks like in marriage. Here's what it looks like at work. Here's what it looks like parent-child relationship. He's just walking them through these different things. The book of Colossians is very similar, by the way, written to the same, I think, stage of where Christians are at. And then to finish off, and the last section of this letter, in chapter 6, he addresses the reality then of the spiritual battle that, listen, it might look to you like the struggles you're going through in this process of growth that you're running into, it might look like they're just things going on in this world, But there's actually also a spiritual reality. There's a spiritual battle going on. You have an enemy who's trying to keep you from growing as a Christian. And I think that's one of the things that Satan wants us to get stuck. He wants us to get stuck so that we don't continue to grow. And he tells them all about this in chapter 6 and what they need to do in order to stand firm. Okay? So that's a race through the book of Ephesians, and I know it's too much. That's why I didn't like try to do this and then two more stages after this, because I would have lost you all big time. But bring it back now. Ephesians, as you look at this book, you can see it in looking at the book as a whole, it can help you to come away with a really good understanding of the characteristics of somebody who's at this spiritual child stage, a newer believer, still not brand new, but still younger in the faith, needing to learn a whole bunch of things about a whole bunch of things, needing transformation to happen from the inside out. Just, you know, you can definitely see parallels in normal human growth and development and what we want to see happen in our actual children. You can see that with this stage of spiritual growth as well. So I want to give you a bullet list. If I was to summarize these things for us today, I would come up with a list like this. So it's going to be up here. And again, I am going to have literature. I said last week I'd have it by today, but then the plans change. So it's going to be within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have literature with these things on it, okay? You can also go online if it helps you, if you want to write it down and you don't have enough time this morning. You can go online and all the sermons are online with these bullet lists from last week, and this week will be on there. You can use those as well. You can even copy and paste if you want to do that, okay? But here, this is certainly not an exhaustive list and not a perfect list by any means, but as I kind of mulled over these things this week, this is the list that I kind of came up with for characteristics, common characteristics of this spiritual child stage. So number one, knows and applies basic Christian beliefs and practices, okay? So that sets this stage apart from the spiritual infant stage, is that they know the basic beliefs and the practices of Christianity, and they're beginning to apply them to their lives. Also, a second thing is that they're beginning to have a Christian worldview. So coming out of being spiritually unborn, you have a secular worldview, typically in America, it's more of a secular worldview where you just basically throw God out of the equation and you think life is all about humans and natural world, and it's a secular worldview. But when you are born again, all of a sudden the lights turn on, and as a spiritual infant, you're learning new things, and so by the time you get to this stage, you're beginning to have a Christian worldview. Number three, you are working on overcoming sinful habits is a key characteristic here. So you still, if you will, are rough around the edges, okay, with sinful habits. Last week I mentioned that spiritual infants are still probably going to have a lot of sinful habits because they're coming out of, that's all they knew, right? And by then, you know, a big thing, as we saw in Ephesians 4 and 5, is a big part of this spiritual child stage is working on overcoming sinful habits, saying no to sin and pursuing Christ-likeness. Number four, at this stage, they're learning more about many specific biblical issues. So there's so many topics to learn about in Christianity that you don't necessarily learn about as a spiritual infant, but when you get to this child stage, I mean, you just, like if you go to Right Now Media and you look at their topics, it's like, yeah, there's tons of stuff you got to learn, like finances, marriage, parenting, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood. I'm trying to remember the things on Right Now Media. I can't remember them right now. But anyways, it's a whole bunch of different things that you need to learn at this stage. Number, I think, five. I just have bullet points here. I think it's five, right in the middle. At this stage, you're focused on many areas of life transformation. Okay, so very similar. You're learning about many things. You're changing the way that you're acting at work. You're changing the way that you're acting at home. You're becoming more like Christ. So there's this transformation in many areas of life. But still, and I think this is a key characteristic that's a difference between spiritual child stage and then spiritual young adult, is your growth is still focused mostly on yourself. Okay, so you're still quite self-centered. I mean, and I'm not saying that necessarily in a bad way, that you, even as children, like normal human growth and development, children are learning all kinds of things. Like, their children aren't usually ready to be teachers. I mean, we can have them do those opportunities, but your growth focus is mainly on yourself. And at spiritual child stage, you got a lot of stuff to learn. So you're focused on yourself. You're not really thinking a lot about what other people need yet. You're thinking about what you need and growing in your own faith. And there's just generally, God hasn't brought you to this point yet where you're looking beyond self and seeing the needs of others. Next week we'll look at the book of Philippians, and you know in Philippians chapter 2 he says, he talks about not looking only to your own interests but to the interests of others. That's a key characteristic for next week, but at this stage you're focused mainly on yourself. Also, prone to being controlled by feelings and emotions, okay? So you can kind of, at the spiritual child stage, be kind of all over the place with, you know, just, oh, one moment, oh, Jesus is so awesome, and then, oh, like, does he, God even love me? You know, you can just be prone to a lot of feelings and emotions and making decisions about Christianity based on how you feel, okay? I hear some chuckling, so I'm hoping you're identifying with this. I certainly can identify with this. Also, might be caught up in questionable popular preaching, because as a spiritual child, you know a little bit, and you start to listen, you like want to listen to preaching, and you just listen to all of it, and you hear stuff that sounds really good, and you really don't know yet if it's solid or yet. And so what people, I think, tend to listen to is the popular stuff, especially in our culture today where it's so easy to get to and there's so much marketing, and you just get caught up by this speaker or this author and you're reading all this stuff, and it could be there's a real tendency for people at this stage to get caught up in questionable popular preaching. And then the last one that I have here is you know, certainly we want people at every stage to be serving, but at this stage, people probably serve a lot out of their own personal benefit. So they'll serve because they enjoy serving in this area, but if they don't really enjoy it, they're going to not do that anymore, okay? Whereas as you grow further along, your motivation for why you're serving isn't so much just about yourself, but it's to glorify Christ. It's because you have a heart for other people, and those types of things. But at this stage, you're hopefully serving, but probably for what you can get out of it more than as you grow further along. Okay, so that's kind of a bullet list there. This stage is a major, major stage of growth and development as a Christian. Okay, it's, I think, huge. I think it's many years, and it's going to be different for different people, but there's so much transformation that needs to happen and so much growth as you're going from being an unbeliever and then spiritual infant and then becoming a mature Christian. A whole bunch of growth needs to happen, and it just takes time. True transformation takes time. One of the concerns I have about different discipleship programs in churches is that they will come up with a series of, and you'll see actually some of this when I show you the resources that we have, but I'm telling you right now, like at this stage we have a series of 7 books that we encourage you to go through with a mentor at this stage is one of the things you can do, but we're not in any way saying that if you make it through those 7 books, you have arrived at the next stage, okay? You can't do a 7-book study and be, boom, just, oh, I'm past this stage, okay? It takes a long time, Okay, it's not just what you learn up here. It's God's doing this deep transforming work. He's reshaping your heart. He's reshaping your mind, your character, your behaviors are all being reshaped in these kind of childhood years of being a Christian. And his transforming work is just going through every area of your life. There's this illustration of you picture your life like a house. And at this stage, Jesus is kind of going through each room of the house and showing you how to give this room over to him. And then he moves on to the next room in the house. Now let's work on this one. And then he moves to the next one, okay? There's a lot of work that God does in our lives and that we cooperate with at this stage. So we can't be in a hurry to get through, but we also, remember those pictures at the beginning, we also need to be careful not to get stuck here. And I do think a lot of Christians just get stuck at this stage and they never move on to really maturity in Christ, and we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks, okay? So we always need to seek to continue to grow. The last thing I want to talk about is how you can do that, because I think that this stage will, I think many people in this room will be able to identify, this is definitely the stage where I'm at, okay? You might be at the beginning of it or somewhere in the middle or near the end, but a lot of us, this is where we're at. And so what are some stages or some steps we can take? I'm going to give you some today that could be possibilities. These also are going to show up on the literature that we provide so that you don't have to, again, feverishly write things down or whatever. But here's some suggestions the elders and myself have come up with. So first of all, at this stage, we highly encourage you to be very committed to of the primary ministries that we have in the church are the worship service, which, all right, okay, be committed to the worship service, okay? Coming together, there's so much that we are trying to do in the worship service for people who are at the spiritual child stage. Like, that's the effort that we're making on Sunday mornings. Also, small groups, okay? Getting plugged into a small group. We just highly encourage you as some of the first basic steps in this spiritual child stage is come regularly to the worship service and get plugged into a small group, because those are some of the main things that we're doing to help you to grow, and they're aimed at people in the spiritual child stage, okay? So that might be a step for you. Number two is if you have a spiritual mentor, we encourage you to go through a discipleship series by Navigators called Design for Discipleship. Again, I'm going to have that. You'll also be able to order it through our website. So I'll show you those things coming up, but there's a Design for Discipleship series that Navigators made just for people who are at this stage, and it's better to go through it with somebody else and not just go through it yourself. I want to say at this stage, it's very important for you to learn to be self-taught. So a mentor is vitally important to have someone else or a pastor preaching and teaching or a small group leader preaching and teaching. But during this stage, you also need to become self-taught, okay, and learn on your own as well. And so there's different things that we have available. One of them is Right Now Media. So we talk about Right Now Media quite often. It's a free resource that is available to everyone in the church, that we send you a link that you can set up your own personal account that's through the church, the big umbrella church account. But then you have access to literally thousands of video resources that cover all these different topics of life. And so if you're looking for something about finance or marriage or parenting, you know, you want to grow in those areas, go to Right Now Media and look up some of their stuff. There's another thing that's called biblicaltraining.org, which I really enjoy. You go to biblicaltraining.org. They have free online classes that you can take. For this stage, it's called Foundations Classes. And you can take one of those classes. I think they have about 10 classes that you can take, and you just take them online. We also encourage you as a next step, if you're at this spiritual child stage, we encourage you to begin the practice of regular giving to the church and to other ministries that God puts on your heart, and we put different opportunities in front of you. And just as a way for you to begin to focus not just on yourself and your own needs and your own finances, but to turn and start to look at the bigger picture of what God's doing and joining in the mission by giving a portion of your finances, the tithes and offerings, to the work that God's doing through East Lincoln or through different ministries. Membership class is something that we really encourage you to do when you're at this stage. Make a commitment to join the church family if you haven't done so. And then finally, we just encourage you to start getting involved in serving opportunities like Discovery Land, or Recharge on Wednesday nights, or different outreach events that we do, or Super Sunday we have every month. There's a bunch of different ways you can serve, and you could participate in a short-term missions trip. Like, you can see, like, I already can tell I'm giving you way too many things, but there's just so many ways that we need to grow at this stage, and if you look at it as this isn't just something you're going to be at this stage for 6 months. You could be in this stage for several years. There are all these different things that can be next steps for you, and God may show you, certainly will show you, other ways that you can grow. All right? Now, I'm going to finish here with that. I want to remind you that there are no cookie-cutter Christians, and we're not trying to press people into a mold by going over these things. We're just trying to help you see where you might be at in this process of spiritual growth. And I want to just remind you again that we are going to have literature and resources. We're going to start a small church bookstore here that's very intentional for these different stages. You're going to see that maybe next week. We'll see how things... This stuff just takes time to get ready, so it's part of the problem too. So I'm working on all this stuff, okay? So I think we're going to leave there, and let's just pray, and we'll be done this morning, with my part anyways. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your spirit that's at work in us. You clearly show us through your scriptures that you want us to grow. You clearly show us that we start out as babes in Christ, as children in Christ, but that you want us to grow on to maturity, to becoming like Christ, so that we're not tossed back and forth by the waves of distraction and teaching and deception, but that we will grow up into Christ. And so I pray that you would give each one of us clarity in our lives as we think about these things. Give us direction, give us steps to take, and give us the desire to take them. I think it's probably where it starts, and that's got to come from your spirit in us. Give us that desire to grow and become more like you as we grow in our love for you and want to become more like our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.